This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Let's do some Texas Rangers news as they are off tonight, but had a heck of a win yesterday against the Chicago Cubs, 6-2, and there is a good round of updated news to talk about with this baseball team, including the possible reemergence of a 2023 hero into his World Series form. Okay, they're going to visit the Mariners tomorrow night starting at 8 o'clock here on The Fan with the pregame, so it looks like you'll get a one-hour Fan After Dark tomorrow night. You're getting the full deal tonight, and Blake was at the AAC last night, so Can't wait to talk with Blake here coming up at 6:40.
Sure was.
But we have some good momentum going into a matchup with the best pitching staff of the American League, the Rangers scoring six runs in back-to-back games. And get this, game-time temps in Seattle, mid-50s.
Yeah.
Gonna feel balmy.
Yeah.
After that experience there in Chicago, weather will not be a factor. Obviously, that is an open air but retractable roof stadium. So that's probably still long sleeve under the jersey weather, I think, for a lot of guys. Mid-50s starts to feel a little nippy here, you know?
You
got North Texas blood flowing through
nippy.
You?
Especially because you usually get a breeze with it that hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, when I lived in Seattle, you get used to it.
Yeah.
This 55 is damn near shorts weather.
Yeah, I think
70 degrees, we're jumping in pools.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
I have never been to Seattle where the weather was bad. It was like one of the, and I've been to Seattle probably 8 times, and not one day was it ever like rainy and miserable and all that. I've always gone. I was talking to Snyder about that. I'm like, at first, he was saying, man, it's just miserable. It's kind of depressing out here.
Did you always go in July or August?
I always went at some time during the football season. I would go to a preseason game, scout a game.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
And I'd show up, and it was beautiful. When I was at Texas A&M in 1990, we opened the season at Husky Stadium.
Oh, cool.
Beautiful there. I've never had a bad experience in Seattle with weather. And people are always like, oh, it's rainy and cold and all that. And I'm like, I don't know, bro.
Well, I wish I could say the same. You know, it was depressing. Like, it is real.
That's what John said.
It's gray for 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, and the lack of sun, it does things to your body. You need that. You need those vitamins coming from the sun.
Maybe you're the key, Brian. You're the good luck charm. You just need to move to Seattle, and then it's going to be sunny and beautiful.
What, I didn't hate Seattle. I didn't hate it. I mean, there's
a lot to like about it.
There's
amazing
a lot.
Restaurants,
I mean,
good scenery.
Their downtown is kind of cool. Well,
especially for a seafood lover like you.
Walking around. Oh, yeah.
A little hilly. Eating.
A little hilly for me, but not a bad place to visit, I think, if you're looking for a Rangers road trip destination for the summer. Get out of the heat.
Yeah.
You know, right around July and August, it's usually like 82 degrees. Rangers are still allowing the most base stealers in the game of baseball.
It's sad.
Which is, it's kind of weird considering how experienced most of their pitching staff is and how good Heim has been throughout his career. But I think the Cubs stole another 5 on Tuesday. Yeah.
didn't have a lot of base runners yesterday, or they might have swiped another half dozen or so. But I like the story from Evan Grant today in the morning news with the headline, Texas Rangers taking drastic issues with throwing out base stealers personally. And this is catching instructor Bobby Wilson. He's the one taking it personally. Yeah. They've allowed 13 steals in their previous four game home stretch.
Have they had one caught yet?
No.
No.
So that's like
that a pitcher got one.
Yeah.
But a catcher has.
Oh, there was right there. The pitcher got the guy. Yeah. Who,
there was
who left
there
early.
Was, there was
yeah.
a step yeah. off and throw.
The ball. I mean, yeah. But that's not a real one. That's kind of just a base
I think it was
running
Martin
error.
Got him. I think Martin yeah. stepped yeah. off and yeah, threw, yeah, yeah. And they got him at right. second. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you calculated that into, like, opponent OPS plus steals, you're just giving up free doubles. Every yeah. time a fast guy gets on first base, it's basically a double, and that is devastating. Doubles win games. Yeah. So you're putting guys in winning position. It's amazing that they're 9-4. But so they Grant looked into the what's called pop time, which is the time the ball hits your glove. You got to pop up and get that to second base. And Jonah Heim right now is at 2 seconds flat, 2.00, which is exactly league average. Mm. So if you're league average at that and you're getting no throwouts, it kind of points to the pitching staff, which is, you know, kind of what Heim, I think, was poking around at very respectfully the other yeah. day when he joined us, that we're just trying to make the pitchers more aware.
No question. And I also think it's a credit to some of the teams that they've played. I mean, Boston, that speed jumped off the screen. The Reds, same thing.
Tampa.
So, yeah,
and Tampa. The new rules. Tampa, I mean, the rules run. Have definitely made it a lot easier.
Well, you can't pitch over there. You can't hold.
No, 100%. But you're right. I mean, and Boch talked about it post-game, talking about the pitchers. Like, this is a pitching thing. They've got to make it to where your catchers have the opportunity to throw somebody out. And right now, they're failing at that.
So Higashioka's pop time is 2.04. Not that bad. Not much worse than Heim. Heim was 1.97 in 2023. I can't imagine 0.03 of a second are making that much of a difference in here. I don't even know if the naked eye could interpret 0.03 of a second. But you know, this is something to look at. I think it's probably more of a Mike Maddox thing, the pitching instructor. And if it's on his plate, he's going to get it fixed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they have to. It just feels like the emphasis needs to be tenfold of whatever yeah. it's been.
Yeah, and I love this for my teams. We're not hiding from it. We're talking about it. We got a big problem here, and let's go ahead and get this fixed. Among the good news, how fired up about Tyler Mahle are you right now with that performance yesterday? His longest outing since 2022, and I might say it's the biggest reason you didn't get swept, because they were crushing you. They'd scored 8 runs per game in the first two, and all of a sudden they can't get jack squat. So I think the fact that you shut down that Cubs lineup, and he's already got a great reputation. He says he's just trusting his stuff more right now, living over the plate instead of trying to make guys swing and miss so much, and he's just got to stay in the zone. If he can be anything close to this, you are going to have a great 1-2-3 in your rotation.
Remember that Jared was telling us yesterday about him, how he has such good control that he's able to, you know, take the ball and work it low, bring it up. I mean, it wasn't like you said, it wasn't just like, okay, I'm struggling throwing strikes. But the control, the ability to make hitters adjust. Jared was saying the eye level.
Yes.
Of these batters,
because yeah. he's throwing it in the zone yeah. and they're still missing.
Yes. But it's like he's taking his fastball and he's elevating it, or he's mm-hmm. taking his slider and he's dropping it and making it look different. But he's moving the eye level of the hitters, and I thought that was a pretty darn good explanation of
100%
that he was able to like to have that kind of control where like. You know, sometimes these guys, we always talk about, you know, Kamar Rocker not always having control.
Yeah.
It's great for Mahle to be able to do that the last couple of times out, that he's been able to manipulate the strike zone like
that. Well, he's only throwing like 90 mile per hour with his fastball.
Yeah.
So, and it's essentially two pitches that he's been working with at least yesterday. It was the fastball and the splitter. So, I mean, look, that was an outstanding performance. You got to hope that you can carry that on.
Man, yeah, you keep getting 6-7 innings out of a guy like that. That's incredible. The length that he can provide in the rotation and how that saves your bullpen. Like, if that can be consistent, that's special.
He was really damn good prior to the injury. And so hopefully he's getting it figured out.
I'm sure Gray and Bradford will be back. You know, maybe it's going to be a while, but you have Leiter and Rocker. Like, there's 7 starting pitchers here that could go win you a playoff game.
You know, I think they have that level. Justin Rose, 8-under through 16. He's dominating the first round of the Masters. Just had to cut a ball out of that Strawgrass stuff. And he had to like cut it to bring it around the tree and towards the green. He'll probably save par from just off the green on 17 here. Scheffler is four back along with Connors. McIlroy's through 12, 3-under, so he can make a late run here.
Yeah, he's got a couple of par fives. I think he's playing one right now.
All right.
That might be, he might be able to make some ground up here.
But I teased, you know, the idea of a bounce back year. Jonah Heim hitting 310. I do believe the G-Bag blessing is back in a big way. He joined us Monday. In those three games, he raised his average 25 points. He drove in another four runs at a bomb yesterday. OPS 931 with three homers. The walk-off single Sunday. You know, I think the interesting thing here is they bring in Higashioka.
There you go.
Some guys do better when they're challenged.
Yeah, I think the fact that he realizes he doesn't have to be the guy.
Oh, I think that took pressure off
him
for 150 games or whatever.
I asked that question, and I'm like, hey, I know you caught all those games, the championship, but having a dude that you can like at least take a day off and not have to worry about getting hit with a foul tip and doing this and that, you know, does it kind of keep you fresh? I think he's barreling up a lot of balls, though, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. I mean, his bat, I don't know if he's using the torpedo bat or not, but, man, I mean, he is doing a good job of getting that bat through the strike zone and making contact when he has to.
Yeah, I saw Jared with the numbers today just comparing Jonah Heim at the plate from last year to this year. And, I mean, he's up considerably in exit velo, launch angle, barrel percentage, and hard hit percentage. So all those things are up. And I think he's the guy that you could point to the most. We were talking about it in general about the entire team in the lineup last year, about just the general fatigue factor.
He was tired.
Going from the World Series to then quick turnaround last year. Ooh. But I think he is like at the top of that list of guy that could most use that as an excuse for last year.
Absolutely.
And now you couple him with Higashioka and a fresh offseason, you're seeing just what a benefit that's been for Heim this year.
It wasn't even really just the World Series. Jonah had to be your full-time catcher for three straight years.
Yeah.
I mean, that was something they were really hoping Sam Huff would develop. They just didn't have anybody else that could really platoon for him at a consistent basis, even when they were essentially fielding a Triple-A team. Jonah's out there catching every single night. The wear and tear on your body over the course of multiple seasons, and then, yes, you add on an extra month with a World Series run, and he caught every single game in that postseason.
He was a playoff hockey goalie is what he was. He was playing every night.
Standing on his head.
Every night he was having to play. Yeah.
Okay, and then the Langford story, we're hoping to get a good update on that tomorrow, I think, after this day off. How is the oblique progressing?
Please, God.
I do want to say, if I'm the organization here, if I'm CY, I might go and have a quiet conversation with him about, like, you know, you probably have enough power if you never picked up another weight to hit 40 bombs. You are so damn strong. I know you like to flex in the mirror, you know, in your off season, you're probably walking around shirtless all the time. I don't blame you.
You should be.
Okay. Yeah. But what if we did a little bit more yoga and pull-ups and dips and some air squats and just tried to be flexible, you know? Let's see. You know, if it doesn't work out and you want to get back in the weight room, good. But, man, we got a whole lot of muscle going on here, buddy. And it seems like the oblique, you know, might be a result of that.
Yeah.
You know, just pretty want to rule that out.
Maybe tightly wound up a little bit.
Tightly wound.
And
tightly
I was trying to, like, put this together because we were talking about it yesterday, and it's like Adolis Garcia has dealt with this a little bit. Wyatt Langford, you're trying to, like, identify whether or not that body type is the reason why. Are you almost too muscular?
Seagrass, but I think Seagrass had some obliques.
But then I remember that Nathaniel Lowe had an extended oblique last year.
Yeah, that's
I thought,
right.
Well, that go ahead and that screws that theory up.
I mean, I wouldn't.
And I love Nathaniel so much.
You know, I just think that the hypothesis was one thing, and then Nathaniel Lowe.
It's just part of playing baseball.
What's the injury a fat guy can have?
Might be from too little exercise.
What's a fat guy injury? Is there a fat guy injury?
Isn't it the hamstring?
Calf?
Back? Calf. Wow. Shots at pulled muscles.
It just popped into my head.
Oh, calf.
I don't know why I just
asked
that question.
We're doing.
I'm thinking fat guy injuries. Oh, calf. Oh, okay. Don't bring that up 41 points later.
Jeez.
Okay, coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, without further delay, the nosebleeds response to Bobby Bell. The diss track has been laid down. Chief's nervous. He's sweating bullets over there.
I am. This is not my wheelhouse. I'm out of my depth here.
He's the one that has to sing on this, so I understand.
And, right. and like, the there's so many emotions involved. Like, actually being in a real rap beef, that's a lot to handle. Now, it's a lot to take on emotionally.
I like you.
I love Bob.
I like you in this fight.
I had to kill him.
Sleepless night.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
He had to kill him.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time for not only Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420, but a little bit of G-Bag history, as I'm sure we'll be playing this for years to come. Eric Chiafalo and Zach Wolchuk replying to Bobby Belt's diss track takedown that is currently G-Bag of the Day champion. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here he is. Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully.
Thank you very much. Happy National Siblings Day to all of the siblings out there. If you've got a brother or sister, make sure you send them some love today. I will have the top 10 most iconic sibling athletes in pro sports. This is going to be based on searches, okay? So think like who is...
Oh, Rowdy Beers and Rhonda Beers.
The most popular, the trendiest. I do love the Beers. 100% they're going to be an honorable mention on this thing. They didn't quite crack the top 10.
Not yet. Well, I'll give him time.
But, Rowdy's going to make it. He sure is. 877-881-1053. You can let me know who do you think the most iconic siblings in sports are. But we did have to respond to one Bobby Bell.
We didn't want to. We had to.
We had to.
This is going to hurt us more than it hurts you, Bob.
It was not a squabble that we wanted. Honestly, we didn't think that this was that big of a deal. We thought we knew how the show works, that Bobby was going to get an honorary five time. He did quality work with his diss track to Peyton and RJ.
Didn't expect him to cry about it, that's
no,
for sure.
No, I didn't expect tears. I didn't think that he would be going back and crying to mom. Oh, wait. But yeah, it's geez. One of those things where
this is going to hurt a little bit. This might hurt a lot of bit. This might be offensive to some folks. We may or may not have crossed the line.
But diss track should be offensive.
We're trying to put an end to all this.
I do want to say kudos to you though, Eric, for doing all the vocals on this. I stayed out of that. Hey. I'm tone deaf, and I didn't think anybody needed to hear that. But you have had a history of singing on the show, and the last time you sang, it was absolutely beautiful.
That national anthem was pretty special.
I tell you what, and under some influence of alcohol too, right? Wasn't that a bunch of? Was that a shot day there at Shakerton's?
That was a Shakerton's.
That was Shakerton's shot day. Yeah, what that was. National shot day, and you obliged,
crushed it. Yeah. I could use a little shotsky right now. I got those pregame butterflies.
You know what? We got this.
I feel
bro.
Bad for what we did, but I think he deserves it.
He does. Let's fire it off.
Take the belt to the Bahamas. Bobby belting out his feelings, now he's coming for the crown. All we do is lift him up, he just wanna bring us down. How quickly he forget we were the only ones around. When Bob was spitting takes off from his basement underground. The bleeders put him on and the Tolos turned him off. Cause Dax is baby boo, he ain't even Jared Goff. Quit lying about the golf. Petty little female, I'll call you Laura Croft. Your family in a loft. Boy, get them girls a house. If anyone deserves it, Bob, you know it is your spouse. Ooh. So stop with all the drama. Nosebleed seats don't even wanna. Cause all of us would hate to see you end up like your mama. She's dead.
We're not done.
You can see your with them T's nice without beats. You ain't got no J-O-B. Here comes B-O-B with them T's nice without beats. You ain't got no J-O-B.
Come on, B.O.B., get off the D and catch some D's, cause we know when this show is better when you're weak ass oversleep. Stay in bed, boy, I don't wanna hear a beat. Better not wake the Wooly Bully, a.k.a. the Beast. Shout out Shaw Sharif, R.J. Choppy, Pepe Russell, them the boys we wanna keep.
Wow.
Wow, that was explosive.
Covered a lot of ground there.
Well done.
A lot of ground, yeah. That was good.
I'm proud of you, Eric. That was good delivery. But I think that lyrically, I thought we did a good job.
That was fantastic, boys.
I had to exhale a little bit after that one.
Well done. Okay, so we'll have to see how Bobby receives that.
Is that a fact about Bobby's mom?
Yeah, yeah. He'll let you know about that one.
Oh my God, bro.
Yeah. I thought that was way over the line.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you got to win sometimes, you know?
If you check your text messages, we do have Bobby's reply.
Oh, did Bobby hear that?
Yeah, Bobby's heard it.
He still has a pulse?
Yeah, he's got a pulse.
Oh, he's living? Yeah. I thought he was sleeping.
He said, damn, it fire, though.
Wow.
Can I read that first part?
You can read you can read it all. Bobby replies, joke's on you. I'm glad my mom is deceased so Zach can't DM her.
I already did in heaven.
Wow.
Okay. Quite a development here. And that, I don't know, that might have gone over the line. If I'm Bobby Belt right now, I mean, knowing his modus operandi, he's probably already in his home studio. You said it's a loft? He doesn't have a house for that many kids?
No, they live in an apartment. Yeah, it's well documented.
Yeah. It's, I don't know why.
Know that. It's about time you get to come up to the crib, you know? hopefully this will resonate with him, and he'll look in the mirror a little bit. Again, that... Believe me, that hurt us a lot more than I think it's even hurting Bobby right now.
What kind of text reaction are we getting in here? 469, Wooly Bully is on the wrong side of radio. Okay, not quite sure what that one is.
Hope that's a good
okay.
thing.
Okay, that's a dub, 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 says the 817. Bobby Belt puts belt to butt, LOL. Okay. Bobby's was good. That one was better.
Oh,
damn. Okay.
There we go. Says there we Eric. Go.
Says Eric.
Can you play it once more, says the 214. We'll play it back for you at 6:20 and tomorrow during the G-Bag of the Day. Holy bleep, says the 972. Some folks missed it.
Yeah, it's coming up on the fan socials right now. I'll have it out. We've got a nice little graphic to accompany and all the lyrics so you can make sure you're well in tune with every single strike that we sent his way.
All right, and with that, Woolchuck's top 10 best siblings in sport. I guess Chief and Belt won't be brothers anytime soon,
well,
figuratively or literally.
It's going to be tough sledding.
He did that to himself. All right, most iconic sibling athletes in sports. Now, we've done like twins and sisters and brothers. This is going to be like most combined search volume.
Because let's not forget, Walchuk, like we were the first ones in the nosebleed seats to welcome Bobby Belt's voice onto the 1,000 watts.
Nobody knew
air.
Who the hell a Bobby Belt was until we decided this dude's putting out some solid Twitter content. See if he wants to jump on the show. And he did. And then now, look at what Bobby's been able to make of himself.
Next thing you know, he's a part of our coaching tree. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Which,
yeah.
I mean, at times that's been shameful and embarrassing. But we love him still. He's one of ours. He wants to go ahead and get ticked off. Screw him.
214, I hung up on my wife to hear that, and it was worth it.
You gotta go, honey. Chief's about to disbelt.
All right, number 10 on the list, we've got the Lopez brothers, Brooke and Robin Lopez. They come in tied, actually, at number 10. Well, I guess this would be number 9 with the Gronkowski bros, which has got to be all Rob doing the heavy lifting with the searches. How many are searching, like, Chris and Gordy Jr.? Yeah. I didn't even know, and Dan. I didn't know there was a Gordy Jr.
No.
I didn't even know about Gordy Gronkowski.
I didn't know about Gordy either.
We've got the Balls, Lonzo, LiAngelo, and LaMelo. They came in at number 8. Hmm. Number 7, having fallen off since they both retired, is Peyton and Eli Manning. Tremendous siblings. But they still keep, you know, their flow going. They got all the commercials. And they're funny, man. The comedic timing, even for Eli. I've been very, very impressed.
He's gotten better.
He has.
Not quite as good as Peyton with the comedic timing, just as with quarterback. I imagine Peyton's just about 10% better at everything. But still pretty good. Pretty good with Eli.
And he's good with the one-liners, 100%. Yeah.
They're written, probably by Peyton.
Yeah, probably by Peyton. I think he's the one that's got the comedic chops. Number 6, we've got Serena and Venus Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's slow, you know. But I guess you're going by Google search.
Yep.
I'm surprised.
I thought Serena and Venus would be pretty up there as well, especially after the Serena. Super Bowl. You thought there would be a little bit of a bump there. Yeah. Number 5 is the Sanders, Shador and Shiloh. You've also got Deion Jr. in there as
okay, well. Okay, this is present times.
Fuck yeah, this is current. This is current. They come in at number
Google
5.
Google trends for the week.
Number 4, Steph and Seth Curry, the Currys. I think Steph doing the heavy lifting there as well. Gasol brothers getting texted in, Walter and Eddie Payton. We got several other good texts that are coming in with the Bobby and Terry Labonte. Yeah, a lot of racing families. There There's a lot of racing brothers, 100%.
Yeah.
Number three.
The answers.
Most takes iconic a lot of money. Sibling. It takes does a lot of money, and parents interested in racing. Not very common. You get both those in the same household. Sorry.
Jim and John Harbaugh coming in at number three.
The Harbaugh. I mean, dude,
the Harbaughs.
How can you argue with that? The staying power. I mean, geez, how many coaches have been at their team for as long as Jim?
I mean, I'm hoping one day we get an AFC Championship game, because then they'll have the Super Bowl. They'll play coach against each other in a conference title game. Nobody else is going to be able to do that.
I wonder. By the way, real quick on that Harbaugh, Jim. That thing in Michigan is going to once again get really ugly.
It's going to get ugly.
That assistant coach. I have a feeling that's not going to end very well for a lot of folk.
Yeah.
Oh, other people involved?
It's not good.
Let me tell you what. You cannot be an assistant on a staff and be the head coach and not know what's going on there. And maybe, you know, you act like, well, I don't know. This is terrible. It's terrible news. I don't know what he was doing. You know, it's the whole thing with like Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky. And how could you not know these things?
I mean, didn't Pete Carroll... He left just in time. He knew what was happening with USC.
Sure.
And they get hit with a bunch of sanctions.
But this is predatory stuff here.
But this dude's hacking on computers at home. If you're, you know, unless you're monitoring his IP address, how would you know?
I think he's doing it with Michigan
software.
Software. Oh. University software. That's why Michigan is part of the suit for this thing.
Yeah, that's a messy situation.
It's very messy.
So did Michigan software enable him to get in there and get past like firewalls and whatnot?
He is such a talented programmer that he figured it all out using school equipment.
Wow.
So
definitely shout out to Von Erichs, the Blades.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take that.
No, you're good.
Gary and Kevin.
Gary and Kevin.
Fritz.
Corey and Kyle Seeger getting texted in here with the Duke boys, Bo and Luke. We've got... the Klitschko brothers, absolutely. The Hulls, Brett and Bobby. I think that was a father and son.
That's father
there.
And son.
Not siblings. Maybe. Matt and Jeff Hardy, the Diaz brothers, 100%. But number two is the Antetokounmpos. That's Giannis, Thanasis, and Kostas. That's got to be all Giannis searches. Oh, and there's also an Alex Antetokounmpo. Shout out to Alex. But number one, most iconic sibling athletes right now going. It is the Kelce Bros, Travis and Jason Kelce.
A.K.A. the Overlaffers.
The Overlaffers.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Top 10 in the books. Reply to Bobby Belt in the books. If you missed it, look for it on socials. And we'll play it again for the rest of you coming up at 6:20. And tomorrow, G-Bag of the Day 2:30, which features the best audio from the world of sports. Every day we see which audio we like the best. That's your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's time to hit the C-note, though. Cowboys news of the evening, 2 weeks till the draft is coming up next year in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time now for the C-note, Cowboys news of the evening. They hosted receiver Matthew Golden today. Pictures with Jerry. Ed Werder says the Cowboys are prioritizing a good wide receiver, too. My take. I think the bar is so high for a wide receiver to be good enough to have a lot of success with Dak as the defense plays clog and cover. I think it's so high. I think you should clearly be prioritizing great protection and offensive line. If you're going to speed up Dak, if you're going to get him throwing off schedule, be prepared for a lot of interceptions compared to the touchdown total. So I understand we need a second wide receiver. I just think if you get through this draft addressing wide receiver and not addressing the run game in a big way, the return on investment of wide receiver two is not going to be enough. Your running game has to be powerful enough to get them out of those coverages and give Dak man opportunities. And if you can't have that, then you better at least be able to protect Dak for an extended period of time. If you can't have that, then you better have a running back that is so dang good that he's just like, give me the ball, I'm going to make a bunch of people miss. Like I don't care how good the wide receivers and tight ends are. If you let the defense play that coverage that we've seen so many times replaying in our nightmares for the last 5 years, expect the same results.
That's my take. I don't care how good wide receiver two is.
I don't necessarily disagree with that at all. I do think there's a way, you know, they struggle so much when it comes to blocking out wide and in the second level to help extend chunk runs that you might be able to upgrade there as well to help the running game. Like, that's why I love Emeka Egbuka. I think he's an outstanding blocker. If you waited to the second round, Elik Ayomanor from Stanford, also an exceptional blocker, if that's the route you wanted to go. But yeah, man, I think we've seen, like, Dak's been able to make other receivers, Cedric Wilson, there was a time Bryce Butler, Cole Beasley, like, you didn't have elite weapons in the year that you did when you had Amari and Gallup and CD and Cedric Wilson was your wide receiver four. You were one and done against the San Francisco 49ers. You put up 17 points in the playoffs. So I get what you're saying. I do think that it's a need 100%. But there is something to be said about just continuing to build the trenches and then adding a runner that can actually be an explosive player.
I mean, let's prospect in the mid to late rounds at wide receiver and try to find something there. Like, wow, we got one here in the fifth round. No freaking way. Let's not do that with the bigger positions of need in your offense is how I would be looking at this. Okay, linebacker DeMarvian Overshown on the change. This is great. He says, when I first came in, I think it was more so people were expecting me to get zero based off the fact that I wore it at Texas. I like the way he went about it. He's talking about his meeting with Jerry. Says, as much as I wanted it my first year, you just don't give a rookie with nothing to show for in the league, especially a number that's highly wanted by veterans. It's something you want to make somebody earn, or you want to wait to see how everything pans out. And so the fact that I got it now, it actually means more to me than just being given the number when I got here. I feel like I earned it and I did the right things to get it. So that's pretty cool. I think if healthy, he's going to be what, a top 10 linebacker in this game? Overshown? That's not saying too much.
Oh, no, that's not saying too much. Sure. Yeah, he's an absolute game wrecker. He's phenomenal. I mean, if you duplicate what you did up until the injury last season, I mean, that dude is special.
I asked somebody over there, well, actually a couple different people about him, and I'm like, well, how's the rehab and stuff going on? And he was, a couple different people did comment back, and they were saying, listen, this guy's on schedule. There's no setbacks. They're just going to be very, very smart with his return. I know we heard in the interview that he was talking with Kay Adams, right? That he was going to try and come back as quickly as possible. But they're saying, man, this was a very bad injury. Mm-hmm. This was a very, very bad injury on a very talented guy. And he's everything about him is he's very self-assured about himself and in a good way. And everybody over there loves the kid. And they love working with him and all that. But yeah, they're excited about everything being on schedule and just no setbacks. That's I think, the best thing that we can hear about.
What would they say about week one? Do they mean on schedule to play, on schedule to be there in training camp?
On schedule, I need to ask that question. But on schedule, because they're usually very cautious with their guys. I think he's, you know, this kid is very much like he's kind of got a goal and they've got to kind of try and, you know, they're going to keep him and let him try and obtain that goal. But I just wonder, like I said, I need to ask exactly like, well, how can you tell? Can you tell? Is this a September thing? Is this a November thing? Where are we at right now with all that? But my gut feeling is on schedule that you just take the months, you know, that he's been out and months since surgery. And then, you know, that's your timeline there. But maybe he's going to try and push things, but I think they're going to be very, very smart because they don't want to hurt himself again in the future. That's something they just don't want to happen again.
Looks like McElroy's approach on 15 is going to be long. That's going to give him a chance to maybe get up and down from there for birdie.
Well, would that be if he's at 15 and he's over the green? That might be eagle putt coming back. He might have got home in two.
Oh,
this is what I haven't. I mean.
That was a long approach.
Yeah, a long approach at 15, and he's got it on the green in the backside. That would be a shot for eagle there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So he is 4-under through 14. Rose in 7-under, 65. Scheffler in 4-under, 68. That's a quick look at the Masters. Ben Solak, ESPN, mocking Quinn Ewers to the Cowboys in the sixth round. Mm-hmm. Would you consider another quarterback now that they've traded for Milton?
There's the whispers that they're And this is the whispers from coming from guys like Nick Harris and stuff like that. And he's very adamant about this, that Dallas is probably looking at adding a maybe an undrafted free agent a college one.
Maybe like a Caleb Rogers.
They just don't want to go to camp with three guys. Okay. They want to go to camp with four. So however they get that, whether it's a UDFA or maybe somebody, a young veteran guy, maybe they're looking at the UFL. Maybe there's somebody out of that. But they want to go to camp with four quarterbacks, not just three.
I think it'd be exciting if they took a guy in the fifth round, you know, just bring multiple young guys in here. You got multiple irons in the fire, and it kind of creates a competitive environment. Now, I don't know if Dak would feel like that's squeezing out his guy, Will Greer. How important is it to have a veteran guy in the room like that? But when I saw that, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of yours, but a quarterback on day three would be kind of fun.
I think it'd be – it's a little bit of a luxury situation. Like, if that's the route you're going to go, you have so many pressing needs. Broadus is talking about finding capable running backs that can impact your team today in the fifth round.
Right.
Not to say that, and maybe you double dip there, not to say that you wait till the fifth to get your guy, but there's guys that can impact your football team today in the fifth round in a way that any quarterback wouldn't at all. And you have holes galore.
I just kind of feel like, though, to me, and we had this discussion on the draft show, I think the difference between these running backs now, and we were trying to make sense of why you would take Hampton at 12, because maybe you fear that you're going to, with the second round backs are very good, the third round backs are good. You know, the level, where do you want for this running game, and especially with the fact that they really don't have a running back.
I was really interested to see Marcus Mosher posted over-unders on draft position.
Yeah.
Hampton's is 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Denver at 20 would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But if you, because you never know how the draft goes. Like, if we get into something wild here, and let's say Gentry goes, maybe it is a New England that takes him earlier, or let's say it's Vegas and it goes with Chalk, where Vegas takes him at 6, and Chicago with Ben Johnson takes Jahmyr Gibbs a few years ago when he was with Detroit. Does he see a Travion Henderson, that explosiveness, that speed, and say, give me Travion Henderson at 10? Now, all of a sudden, there's two running backs that are off the board. Now, the Cowboys, you got to pivot and say, well, if we want our guy, and we think, on the draft show, we said there's four really true, like, top-tier runners, right?
Yeah, the very goods. I was just trying to break it down in a pretty simple way.
That four-group clump was Gentry, and then it's Caleb Johnson out of Iowa.
Yeah.
You've got Hampton in there from North Carolina, and Henderson from Ohio State.
Yeah.
So now, all of a sudden, if two of those guys are gone, the likelihood of them making it to 44 is not high. And if you covet that, and if you're really putting an emphasis on wanting to make this running game better, and you think there's a big drop off to, like, well, should we wait to the third, or at 44 could we take Quinshon Judkins, maybe you do pull the trigger on a Hampton. That'd be the kind of scenario that I think it would make sense.
Yeah.
Or I could, for them, I could see it making sense.
Yeah.
I love how fired up you guys get about this draft. The best draft coverage in the world is 2 weeks from tonight, right here in the G-Bag Nation. 214 says, we get it, Gavin. You'll throw shade at Dak no matter what. Making up a fake run game that the Cowboys hadn't had since 2018 is hilarious, General. I mean, he's obviously great at putting up amazing regular season stats. A lot of that has been schedule. But whenever they come up against a real credible team, a good defense, the playoffs, you know, I just think it shrinks. And it's not necessarily shade at Dak or any quarterback. They all have to have a good running game. This idea that a quarterback could be good enough, I think we've seen it, what, once or twice? Tom Brady with the short passing game to Deion Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the,
James White and company.
A few of the GOATs have been able to recreate the running game with the short passing game. But outside of that, I haven't even seen Patrick Mahomes do it.
Well, I think also, you don't really need a great running back if you are a Mahomes, if you are a Brady. Like those, I mean, although Brady won a Super Bowl with Corey Dillon, like, and I can understand that, where like an Isaiah Pacheco can get the job done for you. I mean, I don't know that you're in a situation like that right now where Dak is in his career. I think that you do need an elite running back to really help take pressure off him and kind of be the bell cow of that offense.
Okay, we have an edition of Football's Finest coming up next. Eric, where are you taking
it? A bunch of stuff to get to. Got some great, interesting draft nuggets for you, plus your Throwback Thursday football clip of the day next year in the nation.